do you know? It's the John Curley, Sherry Elicker show, starting right on time. And none other than Sherry Elicker co-hosting the show as I scramble around to try to get my computer. Hang on. I see you, Sherry. Hang on. Stop. Wow. That was a Oh, boy. Here we go. I got you. I got you, girl.
Something was obscene?
No.
I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's kind of radio talk.
Okay.
All right.
I was just waving.
With my whole hand, my giant hand.
Woo! Giant hand diving! Giant hand diving! Wow! Giant hand reference from herself right up the top. How about that one? All right.
Can't beat him, join him.
They've broken you. They have broken you,
They have broken you.
Okay. Was it lunch? Was it a lunch break or was it a protest? I don't know, but it certainly looks like it could be a little bit of both. Hey, I got an idea. They needed 1,000 people to sign the petition. These are Amazon workers going out. I guess it's not a strike. It's sort of a...
It's
conveniently,
a walkout.
It was at noon. Noon to one. Where most people would go outside.
Yeah, how, I guess...
And walk around.
How do you distinguish between people who are just going to lunch and who is walking out?
I think they have an indignant look on their face.
Yeah, just the expression.
Sort of marching. Maybe there's like simple ABA or AA rhyme schemes, you know, hell no, we won't go or something like that. But yeah, so they had 1,000. Did 1,000 actually protest? Let's see. Here on.
Yeah, so it was 900.
Hang on. They're here
because a lot of Amazonians feel in their gut that something is not right with the company. And there are a lot of signs of this, such as a rigid, one-size-fit-all return-to-office mandate that does not support parents, does not support our colleagues who have caregiving responsibilities, does not support coworkers with disabilities, does not support women and coworkers of color who have shown that working remotely throughout the pandemic has allowed us to do our best work.
They put down their sandwiches to clap. They're protesting the fact that they have to come back to work. So everybody was in work prior to the lockdown, prior to the destruction of the U.S. economy by government. They were working in the office. They went home. They liked it. I said the other day, you've taken something from them that's the most valuable thing they had, which is time. They don't want to commute. They don't want to have to go into work. They got a taste of freedom. They don't want to have to go back. I guess Amazon is saying, what, 3 days a week? Or is it 4 days a week or something like that to come back in?
It's 3 days a week. And initially, 20,000 workers signed a petition asking Amazon to reconsider. Of course, they didn't. Uh-huh. So today, it was a walkout of 2,000 employees, 900 outside Amazon in Seattle, and the other 1,000 were from offices around the world. And this is a sort of like a collaboration of two groups. One is the Amazon Employees for Climate Justice, because they're very concerned about the climate impact that Amazon has, and then Amazon's Remote Advocacy Leaders. So it's the two groups combining their efforts, saying, you know, on one hand, we don't want to have to come back. We don't want to be forced back to work. And by the way, you guys are ruining the environment.
More signs that the company's not going in the right direction. Amazon's carbon emissions have increased 40% since the climate pledge was first announced. And that's while severely undercounting and underreporting the emission numbers. AWS also plans to build new data centers that are powered by fracked gas brought in by new gas pipelines.
John dropped off again. He's trying to get back.
Oh, okay.
He's slowly playing. It's part of the speech as he.
AWS is still continuing to sell AI and machine learning technology to oil and gas companies to help them find more oil and extract more oil more quickly, more cheaply. And just a few days ago, news broke that Amazon quietly scrapped Shipment Zero, the first and really only public commitment right now to reduce shipping emissions across the company.
Uh-huh.
All of these are signs of what Jeff Bezos has warned us about again and again. Uh-huh. Day two thinking.
Okay. A couple things. One, I don't know why your problem is with fracking. It's been kicked around. The Obama administration did everything they could to try to destroy it. And even when the Bureau of Land Management and EPA finally looked at the real data, they said, it's not bad. We can't stop it. It's okay. It's cheap. It's a way to get it. Yeah, it's really interesting. 40% of Amazon's products come from China. So if you want to buy something on Amazon and it's going to be produced in China, it's going to be produced in China and produce a hell of a lot of CO2 and a lot of poisons that are then dumped into the air and then into the water, and they poison the people. About 1 million people a year in China get sick, and then eventually they die from poisons from the industries that we buy products from, that Amazon ships us. Amazon provides it for us, and then we're able to get it. The fact that 40% of their CO2 is increased, that's probably also because so much of their business has increased since they decided they're going to do the whole climate pledge thing. I don't really believe that they're upset about climate. I think they don't want to go back to work. You think that's a crazy statement to make?
No, I think it's, I think that they're, if they just went after the we want to go back home to work thing, people would be like, stop whining, okay? Get back to work. It's where you belong. But if they can marry it with this climate thing, then everybody has to be like, oh, well, there's that. You know, I mean, so they're trying to take a stand on a real issue along with one that's pretty much a non-issue anymore. Either go back to work for 3 days or don't have a job. Those are the rules.
Yeah.
And so...
My problem with the go back to work thing is if it's the local government coming to the five big businesses that you have in Seattle, right, the Starbucks and Amazon, two or three other ones, I can't remember, the biotech or something. If you said to them, listen, get your people to come back because we need somebody to sell them a hamburger, right? We need somebody to sell them a pair of shoes. You've got to get them to come back because it's got to get the economy coming back. You've got to get them to come back so that all the other little sort of, you know, feeder fish that feed off all everybody. It's called trickle down economics. That all, we need them back for that reason. The government telling the business do that in order to support everybody else. And I had that argument with this guy that was president of a company. He's not there anymore. I'm not going to say his name. And I said to him, wait a minute, I have to come back to work because I have to, included in my job is buying a sandwich from the bakery down the street. He goes, well, we're all in this together. I said, no, my job is to do what my job is to do, and I need to complete the responsibilities of that job. My job doesn't also include eat a sandwich. So to have the government, I'm assuming it's people of Seattle in positions of power telling the big companies, get everybody to come back. And that's what they're telling to come back. If they were productive and they were doing the job well from home, let them stay home. You'd rather have a happy worker at home than a disgruntled worker at work for the people of Amazon. And even at Starbucks, they're having trouble. They're tried 3 days a week, but they're aware of the fact that they've got their little key card so they know how many people are participating and not participating. KUOW talked to, was talking about the office whisperer, Sherry. The office whisperer. Mm. Hey, are you going to eat that donut?
Wow.
Hang on. Wait. No, actually, it's something different.
Experts like Gleb Sapirsky say the rebellion among Starbucks and Amazon workers is a natural consequence of approaching hybrid mandates the wrong way. He's a corporate decision-making consultant who some have dubbed the office whisperer.
What you can see with Amazon is that they suddenly and surprisingly, without any preparation, announced a 3-day return to work policy after... for over a year, saying that they will allow everyone to work flexibly.
Sapirsky would have recommended the companies conduct focus groups and survey employees to allow them to feel heard. After that, he suggests using a kind of formula. Calculate which tasks employees can do as well or better at home, like sending emails or writing code. Whatever percent of their job these tasks comprise should be the amount of time they're allowed to work from home. Employers can ask their workers to come in the remaining time, but only if in-person days are dedicated to work that benefits from being face-to-face. That includes important conversations, collaborative brainstorming, and mentorship.
And if people see that you minimize their commuting time and you schedule things in the office that actually are best done in the office, you'll have the vast majority of people happily complying.
That's interesting, right? That's sort of, you meet them in the middle there on that one. What percentage can be done from home? Okay, then that's the amount of time you stay at home, and then you got to come in for some other stuff.
I think that's what they're doing. I mean, they're not saying come in 5 days a week. They're saying come in 3 days a week. And, you know, the CEO said, look, we need this for collaboration. I think that the idea that people can be just as productive at home is a myth. I think that people can be productive in some aspects of their job, but you do lose something when you're not around the other people and you're not around collaborating or at least being a part of a team, I think, depending on the job, obviously. But I don't think it's unreasonable to ask people to go back to work 3 days a week. I think that's for an office and for a place that, you know, needs to have that interaction. And they've proven that these chronic Zoom calls and all of these meetings online, and people are just zoned out. You know, they turn their cameras off. They're not even there. They're doing something else. I mean, that's not overly effective.
Well, if it shows up at the bottom line that they don't make as much, that it is not as effective and not as efficient, then you could probably make the argument. But if you could point to the numbers being you're doing just as well from home with the Amazon workers, then again, you're taking something from them that you've given them that they cherish, which is their time. You took their time. You gave them time to be at home, not to be on the roads. You gave them all that, and then you take that back from them and have them come back. It's the stuff that people lose, that they cherish the most, that they are most likely to want to fight to maintain. So they're going to push this thing. I don't know what happens after 2,000 people march around at lunchtime and then go back to work again. Some people might end up leaving and going somewhere else. Maybe some other employers that want to pick off some of these Amazon people. This happens all the time. Microsoft picks off Amazon. Amazon picks off Microsoft, Expedia, Google. They all trade their people. All you need is one of them just to crack and simply say, you know what? You can work from home. Come here, right? That was the big thing. I remember when my friend was interviewing a bunch of people. She used to work at a tech company in Seattle. And she said of the 20 people that she was interviewing, all 20 of them said, I'll take the job if I can work from home.
Sure. It's a big perk.
That was like a year and a half ago or something. Yeah. Things have changed. But they're out. They're probably back at work now and they finished their sandwiches. Oh, big, big news, Sherry. Big breaking news. Okay. Al Pacino is having a baby. Well, not he is. He isn't. His wife is having a baby. How old is Al?
Al's 83. He's got three other children by two different women. Never been married.
How's that work? I thought you had to get married to have a baby.
Yeah, that's a rumor. Okay. I think that, so it didn't say how old his
29.
Partner. Oh, she's 29. Yeah. Okay.
And his first child is 73.
Right. She's younger than all of his children, I think.
Combined. Let's see. And if you did have Al Pacino as a father, he would, you know, correct some of your behavior. Yeah, stuff like that. He would yell at you, and then maybe he would do this yell. I like when he yells.
Eat cantaloupe, you bullocking rhinoceros!
Well, you know, he had a relationship with Beverly D'Angelo, who you probably remember from the Vacation movies. And it ended badly. I mean, really badly. They had a set of twins, and it wasn't it wasn't a good union, and it didn't.
Look at you, Miss People magazine. Because Dad, I don't want to do that because it doesn't seem like something I want to do.
I have the law!
That sounds like my father.
That comes from somewhere, right? When they're acting, that's in him. So that should make you pay attention. If somebody can do that, they can do that.
What do I got? Foot soldiers. I want Dick Tracy dead.
The thing about what happened to Al Pacino is he just started all of his movies just waited for him to just start screaming and yelling. He didn't always do that, but then he became like, when he was the blind guy, I'm dying here. and what was the one about say hello to my little friend?
Oh, oop,
I didn't
right.
accent.
Scarface.
Sorry. Yeah. Scarface. Yeah.
Scarface and the scent of a woman.
Thank you, Sherry.
Yeah.
Look at you, trivia. People
I'm an
magazine
Al
gal.
Al Pacino.
Huge fan. I'll take Al Pacino for $400, please. What is Scarface?
I'm intrigued that Sherry, as an actor, is noting that Al Pacino must have those performances in him from some way that it's connected to his real life. Now I'm going to go play Fallout 1, 2, 3, or 4 and see.
Listen. Let's see what we can learn about
Sherry from her performances.
But they're all very nice women. nobody's yelling like that. I couldn't do it.
Very method. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Sherry called me the other day, Jacob, because she got invited to a table reading. That's where the actors sit around and read the script.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, I don't want to go. I've got these lines, and I had to sit there for an hour and a half to deliver my lines. And I said, I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What were you saying?
Yeah. How's that different than this show, Sherry?
I did it. I was the very first person, and then the very last. I was the first and last of the script. They said it would take an hour and a half. Oh, they said, okay, 6 to 7:30, you're done, right? I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Got done at 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Those lines. Yeah, those
never quite. Yeah, never quite works out the way you want it to. But it was nice.
Ground.
It was a nice group of people.
Oh, it's over there you go. Pollyanna. Everybody had a great time. I brought snacks. If you have a dinner party and you invite friends over for the dinner party, and as they're leaving, you ask them, hey, I'm going to need to get something from you. What you ask for might shock you. It's my
shock me.
That story.
That's good.
There we go. You're writing to us. That's good. Thanks to write him to get him, as they used to say at Breezy Point Summer Camp and up in Vermont, Sherry, where I spent two horrible weeks. Got to write them to get them. And then the guy would come in with the letters and then throw them onto your little cots. And everybody else had letters. My parents never wrote any letters. And I sat there and just acted like, I'm adopted. This is a weird story. By the way, you write is mynorthwest.com. You can also text State Roofing text line 1-888-973-5476. My friends invited me to a dinner. And then charge me for groceries. Is that okay? This person writes in. The answer to that is no. Next question. But it is amazing. I don't know if this is a trend or not. If this is something that people, if this is for younger folks to do. But when you invite somebody over for a party, normally what people always say, you invite them over for a party, they'll say, what can I bring? And then you're always, no, nothing, just yourself. Your presence is your present, right? That move. Or a nice bottle of wine would be great, or pick up a six-pack, or if you could, you know, if you could bring the salad. You know, you always sort of, you know, make sure that everybody has a job to do when they come in there. But to go to somebody's party and then have does the host ask? Is that how it happened? The host said, by the way, you know, can you I'm going to need $24 from you.
Well, they gave a couple of examples, which I think is probably rare. One sent a note asking the attendees of this dinner party to send them $25 to reimburse them for the materials. Another, on the way out the door, reminded them that she had a Venmo account and that she would like $40 from each person. I've read a couple of things about this, how you know, people would come over to somebody's dinner, they'd order takeout, and then would divide up the money, or would ask the guests, you know, hey, we just ordered Thai food. It came to $150. You know, your portion is 80 or something like that, which, mm-hmm. again, all of it's terrible. You invite someone to dinner at your house. You're the host. You pay the bill. Unless
yes.
there's some arrangement in advance that, you know, okay, we're all going to get together and chip in. But if you've invited people, you always pick up the tab. I can't even believe this is a debate.
I keep wondering if it's a cultural thing, if it's a generational thing. So let's go to those people that are younger than us. Okay, I wasn't going to say that, but
all right, okay, go ahead.
I'm looking around. Oh, there's Jacob. Jacob, you appear to be 24. Have you had a dinner party and invited people and then charged them?
I am either not among the members of my age cohort that are throwing dinner parties, or my age cohort is just not really throwing them yet. But no, I would say I have not had the experience of being invited to one and being asked to pay. I do think that it wouldn't necessarily surprise me. I would be surprised to get one at the end of a dinner party. I can say that I wouldn't be terribly surprised if someone was planning something and they suggested, like, hey, just to diffuse the costs of this, would you mind kind of buying in or paying ahead of time, if that makes sense? So, but I think, thank you. I think it would still, even among the weirdness of my generation, be considered rude to ask for it at the end.
Andrew, I'm going to assume you've never had people over, either asked for money directly or in some way tranquilized them to the point when they were unconscious, you went rifled through their wallets and purses.
No, that's not a bad idea. That would be how you want to do it, so they don't know. They don't suspect.
Right.
Until they get
right.
home, and they're like, oh, wait, what happened to the $20 I had?
Yeah, I have no memories right. for half an hour, and also my money's gone. I wonder what happened.
But I haven't had the opportunity, like Jacob, to go to one or to host one or anything. Like, I don't know if I'll ever go to one, honestly, at this rate.
Oh, that's not true. Oh. Wait, how old are you, Andrew? How old are you?
I'm 25 right now.
That's so much.
Nothing but time.
Yeah, that's
this
funny.
Stuff doesn't start till you're 35. Don't worry about it.
Don't think I'll ever go to a dinner party.
Right. I mean, I'm also just not that interested in dinner parties. It doesn't sound like it sounds kind of stuffy to me, honestly.
Dinner party. It doesn't have to be. How about just a party? Just a party, right? You're coming to my party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right, fine. So far, the total amount spending on this party I'm having out here, Sherry, is close to $15,000. You think I should ask everybody for some money?
No. No, absolutely not. You can afford it. And that's just, I mean, that ruins the spirit of the party. The party is a celebration. The party is for your birthday and to celebrate you. And you turn
No. I don't like that. I don't like that kind of attention. I don't want it. It's not about my party or celebrating me. No. I like attention, but I like the attention I can control. I don't like being the guy that's getting the attention because it's your birthday. Then you stand there, oh, happy birthday. Oh, that's long.
Oh,
I don't like
actually,
that. No, I like that. Yeah.
You feel like you need to deserve it, and birthday attention is unearned. Like, you shouldn't get it just for existing another year.
It's also awkward. Like, I think surprise parties are just mean. I really do. Like, I would never want a surprise party.
Yeah, okay. Or Jake, write that down, because we had one planned.
No dinner. Let's have a duel. It'll be a dinner party. It'll be Andrew's first dinner party, and it will also happen to be Sherry's surprise.
Well,
Sherry's surprise
party. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Right, I come to Seattle and someone takes me out to dinner, that would be a surprise. that would be a shock, actually. So,
yeah, where
no
a dinner
matter
where
it
you
happened,
actually
a drive through, I'd be like, what? Somebody's taking me out to dinner? Somebody's paying attention to me?
Yeah. I went to a dinner party at a friend's house. She was one of these teachers at Villanova Schultz Theater. Her name is Irene. And she was like, okay, all right, well, I'm going to. Okay, she just puts everything in the oven, and we're all, you know, eating hors d'oeuvres and shrimp or whatever, and sitting around having drinks. She goes, I have to go for a while. I'm like, okay. And Irene was kind of erratic, sort of, kind of very always just sort of you always find she goes, I couldn't quite find the words to describe it. And the hands are always flailing around and stuff. And then I'll say, I have to go. I'm like, all right, we don't know where she leaves. She goes down the hall. She goes into her bedroom and falls asleep. She's throwing the party. And now she's asleep. So after about 20 minutes, someone goes, has anybody seen Irene? Someone walks down the hall. They open the door. Irene? Close the door. Come back out. She's asleep. What? Yeah, she's just laying there on her bed, like flat out on her bed. So we just went in. We turned off the oven, pulled the pot roast out or whatever it was, half cooked, and put that in the refrigerator. And everybody left a little thank you note, and we all went home.
Why didn't you wake her up? Because really? You didn't want to be there in the first place.
No, you didn't. You know, hey, Irene. Hi. Irene, hey, excuse me, can you get up? We're all in here waiting for the party. No,
well,
I think she pretty much told everybody
terrible.
How she felt about all of us being there by falling asleep.
I guess, but when she woke up, she was probably pretty upset that you guys didn't wake her up.
No, not her. God, was she weird. Oh, my God. You'd be doing an acting scene, two people on stage, and all of a sudden she's like, I don't know, what is it? And she'd pick up like a baby doll, like a doll out of a box, and throw it up between you. And he goes, I don't know, what is that? What is that? Is that your mother? I don't know. Is that your mother? Like right in the middle of the scene. And then that's a naked, broken baby doll. That's not my mother.
Sorry.
Keep going. Don't let me interrupt.
I don't think I'd want to eat food sleeping from her house. I think that would scare me. You know, if she's that weird.
She did Elizabeth paper.
Might taste like kitty litter or something. Gross.
Oh, yeah. A lot of that. A lot of hair. As it is sometimes the case with pharmaceutical companies, they produce a drug for one thing, and then all of a sudden it turns out like, hey, that works for other stuff as well. That's the truth of Viagra. They're like, oh, look at that. I think they were building it for something else, producing it for something else. And then they're like, well, yeah, that's got a kind of interesting side effect. So let's sell it for that. Here's another example of it. The drug that's extremely popular right now, it's used primarily, it's prescribed for people that are diabetics. It helps with the part of the blood sugar and balancing blood sugar for diabetics, and it also then has an effect upon the neurotransmitters in the brain to suppress urges to eat carbohydrates or to be snacking between. So the blood sugar goes up or goes down. It triggers a part of the brain that says you should probably start eating. So they produce it for that, and now what they find out is that it has kind of an unexplained or explained, but you know, certainly not researched benefit. Who else is benefiting from it, Sherry?
Well, a lot of the people that have lost weight on this thing also say that they have become less addictive in general. It's sometimes people have an addiction to food and they have addictions to other things, shopping, biting their nails. This reduces the cravings, they say, for some of these things. But it doesn't dull pleasure. So you can still enjoy bites of food, but not go overboard. You can still do certain things, but you don't have that impulsive kind of, you know, when you get a dopamine hit sometimes when you go shopping, when you do a lot of things, when you do a lot of things that can become addictive, hoarding, all these things. And they say that this reduces that. The way it works is it prompts the pancreas to release insulin by mimicking a hormone, which is GLP-1. The primary use seems to be weight loss. A lot of celebrities are using it. The Real Housewives group they're famous for using it. Khloe Kardashian, Chelsea Handler said she took it by mistake. I don't know how you do that. So it's a big thing among celebrities and people that are able to get this. But there's some question about whether or not there's enough of it, because you don't want to take this away from diabetics, people that actually need the drug to control their diabetes.
I think there's three of them that are primarily on the market now. They're not cheap. If you're not diagnosed as diabetic, you have a hard time getting it. And there was, when they first released it, they were giving out these coupons for $25 or something. I know somebody that got it and they're still paying $25, but it's not cheap. It's an expensive drug. And again, there's three on the market, but it does suppress the appetite, and people do lose a lot of weight on it. But I've also heard that once you get off it, it's coming right back again.
Right.
So,
but that's every weight loss, anything, right? I mean, most people, if they dramatically lose weight, they're going to gain it right back unless they maintain whatever it is that they're doing to keep the weight
may
off.
May I remind you of Eastside Weight Loss Clinic that's having incredible results with some people losing as much as a pound of fat a day, Sherry.
Well, that's great, and that's how they should do it. But sometimes low carb, whatever, you know, these things don't really maintain. You can't really maintain your weight that way.
You know, I was sort of getting sort of sleepy in the afternoon on a Saturday or something. I have to stay up for something I have to go to, whatever. You know what I do? I get online and I shop. I don't buy anything, but I just look around, just start scanning around, because it does release dopamine just thinking about it. So let's just take a little 20-minute nap. Just a little nap here. Nope. Let's just start shopping around. And then, you know, I have a tendency to buy stuff between 7 o'clock in the morning and 10:30 in the morning. Yesterday, I bought an 8 by 12 foot chapel. It's a wooden, it's a chapel. It looks just like a little church. And I bought it.
Do you have to put it together?
Seats. Yes. And it seats 4 people. Very excited.
Well, that was a 7 a.m. purchase?
8:15, the order went through.
Okay. Okay, well, good. Well, that's productive. Right. You're doing a whole wedding thing. Of course you need a chapel.
Yeah, a little chapel. And it's going to be on an island.
Oh, that's good. You're building your whole thing there for people.
Yeah,
that's
whole thing. I'll send you a picture of it.
Okay,
somebody said, Rye, it looks creepy. It looks like something that would be somewhere in Louisiana where people would be sacrificing snakes or people sacrificing people with snakes.
If the wedding thing doesn't work out, you go to that.
That's right.
You know, sacrificial chapel.
Come on out. Come on out. $20 an hour.